T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Let's do this!
And now, Chuck and Winkler. Live from the Bryant and Stratton College Athletic Studio.
Listen up, people!
On Sports Radio 105.7 FM, The Fan.
It is game 4, game day. Bucks, Raptors. I'm Bart Winkler. That's Chuck Freeman, who is in Toronto, as is Jim Paschke, joining us on the Great Midwest Bank Hotline. Very interesting series so far. Game 1 could have gone to Toronto, went to the Bucks. Game 2 clearly in the Bucks' favor. Game 3, Bucks did not play well. Toronto still needed 2 overtimes to get the victory, which sets up for a pivotal Game 4 tonight. We go back to Canada, double Canada time, because we've got Chuck and we've got basketball, Jim Paschke. Jim, thanks for a few minutes. Longtime voice, Fox Sports Wisconsin. How you doing?
Hey, Jimmy.
I'm great, thank you. I always learn something from you, Bart. I appreciate the information on DARE. That was awesome.
Yeah, and I was a drug-free kid in high school, and I remain drug-free to this day. So I'm a good example for people.
Me too.
Well, look at that. Chuck, you want to make it a third, or you got a story you want to tell us?
I am drug-free as well.
Look at that. Look at us three drug-free boys hanging out.
I am drug-free as well.
Can you play that theme song one more time?
I already closed it.
You'll have it?
Oh, Don't take them on, Jim.
I can sing it.
Right.
Dare.
No.
Keep our kids off drugs.
No, we're fine. We're good. Tonight, Jim, I just was an unusual night. I was telling Bart yesterday. I think you could play that game 100,000 times and never see as bad of performances as you saw from the Bucks' big three, and just the way it all played out and the Bucks still in that ball game. It just was a bizarre night that the Bucks almost ended up pulling out anyway.
Well, it was a defensive game both ways, and the Bucks came close a few times, couldn't quite get over the hump. And the reason I asked to play the DARE song again is because this has become a DARE series. Both of these teams have players that the other team is daring to shoot the ball. They're trying to clog the paint to keep Kawhi Leonard out of the middle and Giannis out of the middle. But when you look at the three-point shooting, Eric Bledsoe, 2-for-17, Giannis, 2-for-10. I mean, that's what, 15% combined. Siakam is 4-for-16. Gasol a little better at 35%. But those four players have been left alone in this series so that they can sag off of them to clog the paint. If any one of those players could hit a shot or two, they could dramatically affect one of these games, Chuck.
Here, I got it for you, Jim. Dare to make Bledsoe shoot a three. Dare. So the thing about, and again, the message here, kids, is don't do drugs. That's what we're trying to get across to you. The thing about game three, which sort of has me, I'm not going to say nervous about game four. I felt pretty good about the Bucks' chances in the series. I think they are the best team in the East for sure. I still think that with how good they are, we might not even realize how good they are. And they've responded well to losses in the past. And what I've heard from people as well, it took Toronto 2 overtimes to beat the Bucks, despite Giannis falling out, despite these guys not having a good shooting night. And while I get what people are saying there, it still counts as a win. And I think in these 7-game series, momentum is such a big thing that I wouldn't just, because of how Toronto won in game 3, that doesn't mean I'm going to write them off tonight, Jim, in game 4 by any means.
No, you can't. And, that was my question yesterday. The Bucks have always responded. They've only lost back-to-back games this season one time. How much can we rely on that? Yes, we do rely on that. But if you have been around a while, obviously you understand that momentum can work against you sometimes. So I'm with you on that. Because the Bucks have done it and because Giannis has done it doesn't mean that it's going to happen again. Giannis has always come back. I think that was the 5th time all season long and the 2nd time in the playoffs that he was held under 15 points. He had 12 came back with 44, 9, came back with 30, 12, came back with 27. And then in game 3 against Detroit, he had 14, came back with 44 in game 4. That's great. He's averaging 35.5 points a game in games after he's held under 15. Well, wonderful. If he sees that tonight, does that tonight, everything should be fine. But again, you know, we have to see it before we can count on it.
Yeah, Giannis in the locker room the other night, you could tell he took that one tough. He took that one badly. And, you know, we were standing in front of his locker, and he was just blankly staring out there. And you could tell that, man, that he was not happy with losing that game, much less his performance.
No, and, you know, if we know Giannis at all, he'll come out tonight with a greater resolve and probably put up a big number tonight. But, you know, there are two teams on the floor. They're both they're 1-2 defensively in the playoffs. The Bucks are the top defensive team. Toronto's number 2 right behind them in terms of defensive rating. I can't count on anything. I have to see it before I can believe it in the playoffs, and I think that's a fair approach.
Talking with Jim Paschke, Fox Sports Wisconsin. While TNT is broadcasting the games, they've got the pregame show. They've got the postgame show. You guys do a hit on Facebook during halftime. So they're definitely giving you as much access and coverage on Fox Sports Wisconsin as you've come to expect from them throughout the season. One thing that we were talking about before you came on is we went down the old sports radio well and talked about Mount Rushmores. And it's not specifically to say if Giannis is on it or not. It's my way as a 35-year-old that, you know, tries to get the history of these teams as best as I can. Because obviously I wasn't alive during the 60 Packers and the 80-some Brewers. You know, I hardly remember. I start remembering those teams around the early 90s when they were good. But I feel like for me, the hardest that it's been to connect to me with old teams is the Bucks. For whatever reason, I don't know if it's something that I just haven't seeked out myself or if it's been hard to kind of find that. If I'm going to put Giannis and compare him to the Moncriefs and Marcus and Dandridge and Kareem and Big O, I can read about those guys. I just haven't seen maybe as much video footage or I don't know. I just it's hard for me to stack Giannis up with some of those guys because I don't know really how they played. And maybe that's on me to go do more research. So I'm asking you, is Giannis good enough already? Stop right here where we are to say he's one of the best four Bucks of all time.
Well, Bart, you know, when you said how he plays, that's different than what you accomplish. You know, Giannis plays differently than anybody who has ever worn a Bucks uniform. His skill set is different. His talents are different. He stands alone, perhaps, in that regard. But when you talk about what have they accomplished, you have the all-time leading scorer in the NBA, Kareem. You have Oscar. You have Moncrief, two-time Defensive Player of the Year, the first 2 years they gave that award out. So, I mean, Giannis is going to be right there, and he's 24 years old. He hasn't reached his prime. He won't do that for probably 3 years. So he's always going to be in the upper echelon of players who have ever worn the Bucks uniform. But I always differentiate between, you know, when the accomplishments aren't quite the same, you have to look at how he plays versus what they've accomplished, I believe. But there's no question. I mean, he's in that group. There's no question.
Do you think Coach Budenholzer, you've been around him, you know, for this past year and what he is as a coach, do you think he at all considered putting Brogdon back in the starting lineup, or do you think he doesn't look at it and that it really matters who starts and who's coming off the bench?
Well, I look at that, and I think, you know, based on what he is doing and saying, might see it, or I don't know how to say that. I probably am seeing it the way he saw it, you know, weeks ago. That is causing problems for Toronto. With Brogdon coming off the bench and Mirotić coming out, everybody just rotates. I was talking to somebody with Toronto yesterday, and they said, you know, your team is amazingly versatile, and it causes problems because you can bring Brogdon in 2-3 minutes, and then everybody has to think.
Oh, the Canadian airwaves.
Yep,
Jim.
Move.
Okay, we just lost you for a second.
Oh, okay.
You're good.
Am I back now?
Yeah, you know it's Canada cell towers. Either that was a bad joke or we lost them again.
Yeah. No, okay, it's Canada.
Oh, there you are.
There we go. Sorry about that. Don't know how this works.
You were saying, though. Yeah, now we've lost.
Hello?
Hey, Jim.
Hello?
Jim. All right, good. Try to talk to, you got him. Okay. Chuck, what do you want to do here? Because now there's not one single person listening to us.
Why?
Oh, well.
No, there is.
two minutes of hello. Are you there? Who's
no,
there? Are
good.
Are you there?
No, we're good. You know, on the Raptors, as much as we say some of these Bucks players haven't played well, a number of them, I mean, it's Marc Gasol going to have the night he had the other night. You know, he was so good defensively, you know, grabbing boards and being in great defensive position underneath the basket. You know, and Lopez has had to come out and guard him on his three-point shots. Lopez doesn't like stepping away from the basket. He's not really a good perimeter shooter, but Lopez has got to come out and defend Gasol if he's shooting threes, something Lopez doesn't want to do.
The thing they were talking about in the broadcast, too, is how many times Lopez was biting on Gasol's pump fake, mm-hmm. and that he's got to stop doing that. Jim Paschke, Fox Sports Wisconsin. Jim, as this all goes on, you know, we can talk matchups, X's and O's, and we have and we will and we are. But from your perspective, with how long you've been around this team and seeing what they're doing right in front of the stadium and the amount of people that are coming just to be around their home and away, and with how good these Bucks are, I mean, is it almost at some point still like hard to believe this is actually happening?
Well, not really, in the sense that the fans have always supported the Bucks and they've always supported them to this level in the playoffs. I think it's the environment that is different, and it's drawing even more people. It's such a vibrant area. I just think everything's come together in a great way in the city of Milwaukee. The city's changing, and the Bucks have changed with it, if not poke the bear a little bit and helped it change. I really believe they have. So, you know, it's just more of the same. I think it's, you know, just growing, and it's wonderful. And the team now is so good that, you know, people can't help but be involved with it and watch it. I hear it all over the city from people that, you know, maybe don't pay much attention to the Bucks. Normally they're texting me all day long and want to know things, and it's fantastic. This is the NBA has a saying, this is why we play, and this is why we play. It's great. It's the best time of the year.
Liz, I'm just surprised. I thought I'd see more Bucks fans here, but I barely saw any, if any, the other night. I think I saw maybe three people wear Bucks jerseys. Not many fans came here from Milwaukee. What's that?
They sell all the tickets here. You know, you'd think you'd see a few more, but I don't think I've ever been in Scotiabank Arena without a sellout. I mean, those tickets are probably hard to come by. That might be one reason. But you're right. It was a little thin compared to other places that the Bucks have played in the playoffs.
Well, and you got to get passport frames, and you got to, you know, you can't just take a little quick road trip to Detroit.
I know.
It's almost like a foreign country up here.
Well, it's too bad, because the United States should own Canada, and we won't have to worry about it.
All right. I think that we're good for now. Jim, appreciate the time. Always good to talk to you. Keep up the good work on the Fox Sports Wisconsin pre, post, and halftime shows, and we'll see you back here in Milwaukee soon.
Thanks, Bart. I love Canada, and don't do drugs.
I'm going to play you off with that. Yeah. Thanks, Jim.
But I like the United States even more. And we'd have to go through this currency BS. And more fans would be here.
Jim Paschke, Fox Sports Wisconsin, joining us on the Great Midwest Bank Hotline. Looking to buy, build, renovate, or refinance in 2019? Look no further and call Great Midwest Bank today. Great Midwest Bank, providing simply local common sense lending to your community since 1935. Don't do drugs, kids. Don't do drugs. Chuck and Winkler on the Fan.
The Bucks are what's hot, there's no need to deny. So what we gonna do?
Let it fly, let it fly.
That blue, green, and cream make opponents running high. So what we gonna do?
Let it fly.
Straight from the Central Division, we're focused on
Chuck
winning.
Chuck and Winkler served up by Perkins the Restaurant and Bakeries. Best Bucks coverage brought to you by the Q Club of Wisconsin. Hupie and Abraham and Robert Hack Diamonds. Again, if Milwaukee wins the title, your jewelry is free. Shop by May 25th. Robert Hack Diamonds, Greenfield, Glendale, and roberthackdiamonds.com. I'm Bart Winkler from the Brighton Stratton College Athletic Studios. Chuck is in Toronto, Canada, in our luxurious Toronto studios.
Yeah, right in my hotel room.
Oh, I was going to go with that for a minute. I was going to have you describe how great our remote studios were.
It
and
is.
You could talk about the satellites and
it really is nice.
The desk you're sitting at and
it is. It's a nice place, man. It is. It's nice. It's a little messy. Clothes all over the place, but you know that's okay. It'll be all picked up tomorrow when I got to take off.
So you're doing one more show from Canada tomorrow after the game tonight. We're not going to like cut off your checkout time. I don't want to be talking to you and a maid comes in.
Well, 11 o'clock is the, I think, the checkout time here. So I'll be off. Yeah, I'll be off at 11 o'clock. I may have to duck out a couple of minutes early because I got to catch the shuttle. I'm cutting it close for the shuttle tomorrow. The shuttle to the airport, and then my flight is at 1:30. You know, I got to go through this BS customs crap. So I got to go through all that, answer a few questions, and I'm on my way.
You should have just done these shows from Detroit. Like, isn't it that just right across the border? What's the city right across the border? Not Detroit, but there's
Windsor?
Another one. Yeah, you should have just done the show from there. So then you wanted to deal with all the Canada stuff.
Well, it's
or
not,
someone should have smuggled you in on the way so you didn't have to go through all this.
Well, it's just the customs. They just got to go through and stand in line. It's just that sort of thing. I thought of driving in. I thought driving would be 9.5 hours. And I still might for game six. I'm thinking about it.
Yeah, I need more Chuck on the road in Canada videos.
Mm.
Like Stranger in a Strange Land type of stuff.
Yeah.
If you could pump that on our social media.
If I could, yeah. Well, if I, you know, it's very, I'm not up here. I'm not out here a long time, though.
Bring a camera crew with you next time.
I wish I could.
And then we'll get that done. 799-1250. Mike is in West Bend.
Hey, Mike.
Mike, what's going on?
Hey, how's it going, guys?
Good, you?
Hey, two things before I get to my point. Great show with your keyword. Great public service announcement as a former DARE officer. I appreciate it.
Oh, you are?
And, yeah.
Oh, good.
Yeah, many years ago. Anyway, the point with the Bucks. I stand by my original prediction, Bucks in five, no worries. When it comes to keeping the band together, if you could sign everybody, but it comes down to two players that you can only keep one of the two between Brogdon and Middleton, who do you keep?
Well, two different types of players.
I know.
I prefer Brogdon's my keeper. I have to have Brogdon on my team next year. I do. At you know, not at $30 million a year, but I think of value. Brogdon brings a tremendous amount on the team. He's missing some free throws as of late, too.
When you say they're two different kinds of players, if Middleton wasn't on the team, don't you think Brogdon could fill that role?
No.
The outside shot.
No, I don't think so. I think Brogdon's though a little bit better off the dribble. Middleton's way more athletic than Brogdon. Middleton could do things with his length that Brogdon can't do. Brogdon's not a great athlete, but Brogdon knows how to get to the smart. Brogdon might be a smarter player than Middleton, but Middleton makes up for it with athletic ability.
If I had my choice, I like Brogdon over Middleton. If it simply came down to the two of who you're going to keep
too.
For the long term, I would go with Brogdon.
Me too. Without a doubt. Bart, who would you take?
Mike, thanks for the call, and thanks for all your hard work.
Hey, given the value of the dollar. United States.
Who would I take, Brogdon or Middleton?
Yeah.
I would take Malcolm Brogdon.
Not at the same price, but, I mean, given the value, what the cut, you know,
if,
probably
I mean, it's
less.
If it was cut and dry, pick one.
Mm-hmm.
I would take Brogdon.
Me too.
And I still think that, it's going to be so hard for the whole band to come back together. And I'm trying to look at the math for how this works, and I still can't figure it out. Because there's mid-level exemptions, and there's, you know, trade exemptions, and there's just all this stuff. And it really is, like I said earlier, I like when sports are about numbers. But once we start getting the math into it, it's just really hard to figure out how this is going to work. What we do know with both of their situations is that Brogdon's a restricted free agent, and then Middleton, he's going to decline his player option at $13 million for sure, and then he'll be free to negotiate. What the Brogdon thing is that teams can offer him a contract, like with Jabari, he was a restricted free agent, and then the Bucks can match that or not. The Bucks had no intention of matching what Chicago offered Jabari. I think that someone's going to throw a lot of money at Malcolm Brogdon. And I think that the reason we're having to talk about maxing Middleton is because I think somebody's going to throw a lot of money at Middleton as well. If you look at the teams that have the most cap room, you've got the Knicks at 73. You've got the Lakers at 50, or I'm sorry, the Clippers at 52 million, the Pacers at 44, the Hawks at 49. You've got about eight teams, let's say nine teams, that have a max slot available. And once you get Kawhi off the board and KD off the board and see what happens with like Kemba Walker, there, I mean, Middleton and Brogdon could be some of those guys that are in that conversation, and there's going to be teams with money to pay them. So if the Bucks are going to want to keep these guys, they are going to have to pony up. And while it may not be a black and white decision like that, it may come down to Middleton or Brogdon. And I just based on what they can give you, I mean, Middleton is streaky. And I do like Middleton a lot. I like him with Giannis. I want to keep him here. If I'm picking one, I am picking Malcolm.
Middleton is going to cost himself money if he does not finish out this series in a strong way.
Which is almost good for the Bucks.
Well,
if he has a bad series and they get to the finals, he's lowering his price.
Yes.
Because what Brogdon's doing is jacking his up.
Well, but it's not good for the Bucks. If Middleton plays poorly, he's going to cost the Bucks. And he's going to maybe cost him a trip to the NBA Finals. So, no, it's not good. We don't want to play poorly.
If Middleton plays bad and they still get to the finals.
Oh, they need him to play well. They can't get to the final. They need him to play well. They can't have him 3 of 16 and cost them. That the 3 of 16 and 9 points. Middleton needs to play well along with Giannis for them to play to go. I mean, then okay, if he plays poorly and you go to the NBA Finals, then what's the purpose of keeping him? He's not helping you. So why would you want to sign him if he's not if he can't help you get to the NBA Finals? You got there in spite of him.
So tonight, Bucks a 3-point favorite. I think the line moved in favor of the Bucks. 3 points.
The other night, Toronto was a 2.5-point favorite, I want to say, and it moved down to 2 in favor of the Bucks.
I think the consensus is from Vegas, from National, from whoever, that the Bucks will get to the finals and they'll win this game tonight and they'll take on Golden State. And now that we saw Golden State sweep Portland, everybody is pretty high on Golden State finishing it off. Golden State earning their 5th straight trip to the finals last night. And even me, a Warriors guy, I mean, I'm a tad fatigued. I wanted them to lose last night, Golden State. I wanted that series to go at least 5 games. I mean, you got 9 games off now to prepare. That's a long time. And Draymond Green is playing as well as Draymond Green's ever played. And this team doesn't have KD yet, and they could still get Boogie back. I mean, Golden State is going to be, they're going to be so tough. If Milwaukee gets there, let's say they do. I mean, they're going to be so tough to beat, win a couple games from.
Of course it's going to be tough, yeah. But Golden State, you know, this run that they're on, 5 straight years of getting to the NBA Finals, now we know how people felt in the 60s and 70s when the Celtics were getting there all the time, man. The Celtics had just an amazing run of getting to the Finals, and Golden State matches them by going 5 times.
You know, that Celtics team, though, there's only like 12 teams in the league.
Yeah, there's less teams. Yeah, less teams. I don't know. I think there was more than that, but there was less teams. This run that Golden State is on is so impressive. It is. I mean, getting to the finals 5 straight years. I thought Jordan winning 6 NBA titles in the 90s was impressive. It was impressive. Golden State 5 times and, you know, what, 3 titles there?
Yeah, it's such an anomaly, too, because it's like what the Patriots are doing in the NFL. There's a lot of teams that probably should have won more, and there's guys that lose their job because even though they're at the top level, like the Bucks right now are at the top level to win the NBA Finals in most years, but you have this dynasty lurking over you in the NBA, the Warriors, like you do in the NFL with the Patriots. Gary Wolfel, WolfelsPressBox.com. He joins us on the Great Midwest Bank Hotline as Chuck sits in the whatever nice arrangement you're in Toronto, Canada. We find Gary. Hi, Gary.
Hey, Gare.
Good morning, gentlemen. Hey, Chuck.
Yeah, Gare.
Have you been to the top of the CN Tower yet?
No, I have not. You know, I might try that today, though. I might try that. I think. Hello?
Yeah, you got to do it.
I thought about doing that and even going to the Hockey Hall of Fame today. getting down early.
Wow.
I'm not a big hockey guy. I am not, but I like sports history like that, and I think that'd be pretty cool.
Yeah, great city, huh?
Well, I haven't seen too much parts of it. I'm out here like by the airport where there's not a lot going on. So,
did you run into Tony Mandridge?
Does he live in Toronto?
Well, he was born in a suburb called Oakville, not too far from Toronto. Well, I don't know if he still lives
here. Here's the joke. I didn't see Tony when he played the Green Bay Packers, so I'll probably see him as much in Toronto as I did when he played the Packers. How about that?
The guy cost Tom Brotson's job, you know? So.
And a lot of other people. Lindy Infante, too. Yeah. Gary, this series now, 2-1. What did you make of Game 3 the other night when the Raptors hung in there and beat the Bucks?
Well, you know, it's interesting. I watched the PGA Championship that afternoon, and I thought I was going to see the ultimate choke job by Brooks Koepka. Did you watch the tournament at all?
No, I followed it online because I was traveling.
He had a 7-stroke lead going into the final round, the largest lead ever in the PGA Championship. And he almost blew it. I mean, it's like three holes to go, I think. It was anybody's game. And then I turned, you know, obviously watched the Bucks Raptors game. And, you know, what was Toronto up? 8 points or whatever in the fourth quarter early? And they started to choke big time. I think they missed 4 or 5 straight shots. And they were all makeable shots. And I go, here you go, two back-to-back chokes. But, you know, Koepka held down and the Raptors held down. So. Goes to Game 4 now.
Gary, the thing that I think a lot of people are pointing at when you look at Game 4, and this is a series I still thought, you know, Bucks and 5 is where I went. As you play it out, they take the 2 at home, you lose Game 3, and then the Bucks have been so good at responding after a loss. And what I hear from a lot of people is it took 2 overtimes to beat a team that didn't play that well. And it's almost like a win despite it being a loss. But in the NBA, these best of series, it's just first one to 4 wins. Does the way that Toronto won, do you think, help Toronto more tonight? Is it a boost for Milwaukee because they did play so bad and still got it to double overtime? What sort of impact momentum-wise do you think Game 3 will have on Game 4?
Well, I think it does have an impact from a Toronto standpoint. It gives them some confidence that they can beat the Bucks. And, again, they missed a lot of wide-open shots in the fourth quarter that could have blew the game open. But the bottom line is if they're going to go anywhere, Kawhi Leonard has to be healthy. And I talked to a guy yesterday, and he said Kawhi is really hurting. His knee's in bad shape. Now, Kawhi is the ultimate warrior. He's going to give it a go. But from what I'm hearing, he's in a tough place right now. And if you remember, during the regular season, he only played in 60 regular season games. And that was because of his knee. And what did he play the other night? Wasn't it like 52 minutes?
Yep. Yeah.
So for him to come back, I mean, would be absolutely amazing. But, you know, realistically, I don't think that's going to happen.
But some of these guys are such warriors when championships are on the line, and I got to believe Kawhi is one of those guys.
Yeah, I mean, he might be one of the best conditioned athletes I have ever seen. Have you ever seen any sweat on the guy? I mean, the guy plays 52 minutes, and he's not perspiring at all or huffing and puffing. And just an incredible athlete. And I remember talking to Tony Snell about him, and Tony Snell – and Kawhi are really tight. They've been longtime friends. They've worked out together on numerous occasions. And he said he has never worked out with an athlete quite like Kawhi Leonard.
You know, we haven't talked a lot, Chuck, about Kawhi's injury or limping because I don't know how he'll respond 2 days later. But if he was hurt in Game 3. Yet he still played so well towards the end, including that big steal and layup. So we'll see what it does with another day of like body adjusting to being hurt. But I'm not really looking at Kawhi's injury or injury problems as a storyline tonight until I hear otherwise, because he still looks so good and helped them win the game.
You know what? I mean, if you watch the game closely down the stretch on Sunday, if you watched his jump shot, he wasn't getting his normal elevation, and that's a sure sign something's wrong. So he's going to play hard, and I'm sure he's going to play well, but, you know, whether he can play up to that ultra-high level, you know, remains to be seen.
Yeah, you know, Lowry's hurt too. Siakam's a little banged up as well. But Kawhi,
hey,
I mean, I learned.
What's wrong with Brett Van Vliet?
his shot is broken. That's what's wrong with him. He's got a broken jumper. And that I would let that guy, I told Bart yesterday, I said I'd let Van Vliet shoot every time he wants. He threw one off the backboard from the top of the key the other night, and I was like, my goodness, this guy sucks.
Yeah. I mean, he's been pretty solid for him during the regular season.
Yeah,
but
terrible.
Yeah, hasn't showed up. And it's going to be interesting because, I mean, if Toronto loses, they're going to be like Boston and they're going to be like Philadelphia and decide, hey, are we going to make any changes? I mean, Kawhi could walk, and all indications are that he is. And this Eastern Conference is going to look much different a year from now.
The Bucks. Every time I watch Malcolm Brogdon play well, I'm thinking, yes! And then I'm thinking, it was fun while it lasted. Because I just think that with all these teams that have money, I mean, Malcolm Brogdon is a guy, and I don't know if he's going to be in the max conversation, but why would you not want a guy like Malcolm Brogdon on your team?
Yeah, he's not going to be close to the max conversation at all, but I did a story for my website about a week ago, and the speculation is growing throughout the league that the Bucks are going to lose Malcolm Brogdon, and some team's going to make him an offer, probably in the 18 to 20 million range, something like the teams did with Jabari Parker last year, and the Bucks, because they're in this horrendous salary cap situation, aren't going to be able to match it. So. Same with Mirotić. I think Mirotić is a real possibility moving on. And there isn't any question George Hill is going to be moving on. So, again, this is going to be a whole different conference next season.
Gary, do some of these execs who are making the financial decisions, do they look and they say, man, this guy had a great regular season or a good regular season, but, man, he tanked in the postseason or he doesn't play well in the postseason. Do execs look at that when it comes to doling out money?
Yeah, and I'll give you a classic example. How about Kyrie Irving, huh? Man, I mean, he just collapsed, self-destructed. And everybody wanted Kyrie. Well, I'm not so sure everybody wants Kyrie right now. But
at a big price.
Yeah. Huh?
Well, I still think Kyrie's going to get paid. I he had a bad series against the Bucks, but, you know, he's not on the downside of his career.
No. I mean, he's proven that there are definitely red flags about Kyrie now. I mean, teams that, you know, were thinking about giving him major, major money are, you know, pausing about doing that. But, you know, Middleton's going to get his money. If he's not going to get the max, he's going to be close to it. Brogdon is going to be very interesting. And I'll tell you another one that I think is going to be very interesting is Lopez. You know, he's making $3.6 million. And from what I hear, the Bucks could only give him the mid-level, which goes up around 8 to 9. And I'm also hearing there's teams out there that are willing to give him up to 12, you know. So if they give him up to 12, who knows? He might not be back either. So, again, they're in a very, very tough salary cap situation.
WolfelsPressBox.com is where you can find him. Gary Wolfel, we appreciate it. We'll talk again next week.
Thanks, Gary.
Sounds good. Thank you, guys. Yep,
Gary Wolfel joining us on the Great Midwest Bank Hotline. Looking to buy, build, renovate, or refinance in 2019? Look no further. Call Great Midwest Bank today. Great Midwest Bank providing simply local common sense lending to your community since 1935. We are Chuck and Winkler, served up by Perkins Restaurant and Bakeries, home of Kids Eat Free tonight and Saturday. Tuesdays and Saturdays, Kids Eat Free after 4 o'clock. You get a meal. And then your kid gets a free kid's meal. So take the family out. If you got the standard American family, one boy, one girl, mom, dad, that's two free meals when you and mom get a meal. Plenty of delicious food off their menus. And they've got a little infusion of strawberries. Some good, good breakfast stuff with the French toast and the pancake platters with the delicious taste of strawberries. It may not seem like summer outside, but the strawberries will help you get there. And then the strawberry salad as well. Real good with some pulled chicken on there. A good salad for any time of the day as well. That's available at any Perkins all throughout the greater Milwaukee area. This NBA playoffs has been very interesting. You've got a finals now matchup between Golden State and then either the Bucks or Toronto. But one team that hasn't made the playoffs in a few years is overshadowing all of it. And a former Bucks coach is part of the drama. It's Chuck and Winkler. More.
It's too many people at the table. Mm-hmm. And so what happens, everybody gets to share their opinion. And it's so much information coming at her that then when I say, hey, we have to do this, she can't make a decision because they said, no, don't go the way Magic go. You should go
other
left.
Other people already got
right.
to her.
Exactly.
And I'm in the back of her mind,
yeah. So her love for those people and respect for those people often caused us to not make the right choice or there's no decision, Max. And so I said, listen, you can't run a corporation like this. You can't have everybody think that they can have a voice.
Magic Johnson, this guy, you can question some of the stuff he did as the executive of the Lakers, but he's not a dumb businessman, and he's not a dumb guy. And what he decided to do was, Chuck and Winkler here on The Fan, Bart, Chuck, Ryan Horvath, the day that Frank Vogel was getting announced as the new head coach for the Lakers, Magic Johnson went live unedited on First Take, one of the shows that embraces debate more than and the scandal of sports more than anything else. And he just gave them everything that they wanted to hear yesterday about his tenure with the LA Lakers. And here we are on the verge of the NBA playoffs, and a team that hasn't made the playoffs in, what, 5 years is taking over the NBA in terms of what the chatter's all about.
Well, that's disrespectful of the Jeannie Buss, what Magic did. Because Magic talks about how good of friends he is with Jeannie Buss and their relationship over the years. And, you know, he didn't want her to talk him out of stepping down from his post with the Lakers. And apparently he told Jeannie many times, no, these aren't the reasons why I'm resigning. Other people butting in. And then he goes on national TV and spills the beans. And it's like, you know, come on. Come on, Magic. I mean, be upfront with your friend and your colleague and your boss for all those years, and then you go on national TV and you dump that on her. That's not right.
The day that they're doing their press conference, too.
Yeah, not right. Not right. Not good at all. Yeah, Magic is a better person than that. He is a smart business person. Yes, he is, and he's a smart man, and he knows what he was doing there. And that just wasn't, Magic always comes across that he's a cool dude, and he's a likable guy. I love them as a player, but that was not wrong. He did Jeannie Buss wrong there.
You know what's been bothering me with this whole Lakers thing is how much they're talking about Jason Kidd. Jason Kidd obviously used to coach here, and then there was an article written this week about how could Jason Kidd's hiring be an effort to lure Giannis to the Lakers? And then that relitigates the conversation, how much did Jason Kidd actually teach Giannis? When you guys look at Jason Kidd and Giannis, I don't give him any credit for anything Giannis is doing.
Oh, don't. I wouldn't go that far.
Tell me what he did.
Well, he's been part of the growth of Giannis.
How?
Well, he coached him. He made him a better, helped make him a better ball player. He's with him every day. Giannis is, who do you think helped Giannis become a better ball player?
Sweeney.
No. Yeah. Who's told you that?
It wasn't Jason Kidd.
Who told you Sean Sweeney?
Giannis is working with the assistant coaches, not Jason Kidd.
Jason Kidd had a part in his growth. Now, yeah,
he had a part of stifling his growth and ruining his shot.
Where'd you get that from?
Here are the reasons that I watched video of Giannis's shot when he was first in the league and it was good, and now it's clunky.
So you're gonna give Sean Sweeney credit for Giannis's growth as a player, but you're going to blame Jason Kidd for his shot?
Why are people going out of their way to say Jason Kidd made Giannis the guy he is when he was such a bad coach and we all wanted him out of here?
But to say he had 0%, I'm not saying he totally made him the guy he was, but he certainly gave him some direction. Ask Giannis about that. Now, Jason Kidd was not a very good head coach, but as far as growing Giannis into the NBA, Giannis had a part in that, man. He helped him get through the NBA.
Oh, he made him a point guard. Yeah, all good players in the league handle the ball. That's nothing new. He handled the ball growing up in Greece. Big deal. Oh, he brought Kevin Garnett in. Yeah, that's like when a teacher puts a video on because they don't want to do the lesson and they make someone else do it. Big deal. You know, I talked to Jason Kidd over the weekend.
Where?
I texted him.
You did?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah.
I got to see the version of this. This is a true story. Okay.
Yeah.
Let's see this.
I said, Coach Kidd, how do you beat the Warriors? And he said, who is this?
Who this?
Yeah.
And then he said, my contacts were erased. And then he said, you have to believe you can beat them first.
Oh, did you tell him who you were?
Nope. And I made my brother do it.
He was?
Yeah, he gave me an answer.
And he didn't know who you were?
No.
Hey, call me crazy.
Well, why didn't what?
Oh, go on, Chuck. Sorry.
Why didn't you just tell him who you were?
You don't know who I am.
Well, you got his phone number, so you just had. Why did you text him then?
Because I wanted to know how he would beat the Warriors.
Yeah, but he's not going to tell you unless he knows.
He told us. He said you have to believe you can beat them first.
And he's actually a good resource for that because if you remember, he was on that Mavericks team that beat the Big Three.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, he beat the Dwayne Wade, Miami Heat. So they were huge underdogs in that series. That's the one where Dirk individually carried him to the championship. And Jason Kidd.
2010.
Yeah, and Jason Kidd was on that team. So he's actually a good resource. Like, hey, how do we beat, this team with three All-Stars?
I think Jason had a part in Giannis's growth as a player. That would have been a good question for Pashkaball when he was on their show at 9 o'clock. He would have known more than either one of us.
Don't be doubting the celebrities I have on my phone. Let's see who else I have here. Travis Diener.
Well, we all got that one.
Is that my phone? Pipkins in there, by chance?
Who? Lindsey Pipkins?
Yeah, Pipkins. Yeah.
No, I never got his number.
Oh, I got Tom Pippins.
Tom Pippins, yeah.
I got Scottie Pippen.
You do?
No, I wish. I wish I had Lars Pippins' number. His wife or ex-wife or whatever she is this week. She was dating Future. But she is about an 11 on the scale of 1 to 10. Me and my dad used to have this conversation growing up. My dad claims that Scottie Pippen is the ugliest pro athlete to ever play professional sports. Do you guys agree with that? I was always like, I don't think
so.
Yeah, there's way uglier.
No.
He's like, yeah, if Scottie Pippen worked at Burger King or if he was just a regular video store owner like me, he would never pick up any chicks. I always disagreed. I was like, I don't know, man. He's 6'7".
Smooth guy.
Yeah.
I've always had
Gary Ellerson's number.
Call Gary up.
I've got Ed Cedar's number.
Ask Gary what he thinks it'll take for the Bucks to upset the Warriors. Hey, Julian Edelman agrees to a 2-year contract extension, in case you guys were wondering. Gerald McCoy, Bucks release him. Chris Long announces retirement. And it looks like the Jets are interested in bringing Peyton Manning in as general manager.
Who's the other receiver that the Patriots got?
NFL news, Harvey.
That's all I care about. What's that, Bart?
Was it Demaryius Thomas that they got in the offseason?
Yeah, Demaryius Thomas.
Jeez.
I'm gonna go out on a limb and say the Patriots win the Super Bowl.
Yeah,
there we go.
I'm gonna say that too.
Those underdogs, them and the Warriors. Frames, pesky underdogs.
Will you do something touristy today before you cover the game?
I'm gonna go downtown early and walk around down there a little bit around the Jurassic Park area.
Okay, do a little video.
Thanks. All right, guys.
See ya. We're back tomorrow. Bill Michaels up next.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.